Repeat after me to attain your goals. Happiness, a college education, a good job, a healthy family, respect for your neighbors, retirement, happiness. Repeat after me to attain your goals. Happiness.
Ignorance.
A college education.
Mental programming.
A good job.
Slavery.
A healthy family.
Corporate control.
Respect for your neighbors.
Governmental abuses.
Retirement.
Obey.
Happiness.
You are now listening to the world famous Sofa King Podcast.
Please read from sheets. I am Sofa King.
Sofa King.
Now repeat all very fast, please.
I am Sofa King.
Faster.
I am
Sofa King. No, not so fast.
So.
Loses meaning.
I am Sofa King with Todd. Todd.
You say funny things.
Hello, welcome to another edition of Sofa King Podcast.
Oh my fucking god.
That's how you open. Just out of the gate.
How you guys doing?
Yeah. Oh, Brent's taking pictures. Sorry.
There you go. I can't believe you opened like that. I was very impressed with the ding cling.
I got it right on.
Synchronicity, but it bothers me because now I kind of like that.
I see your eyes. Yeah. I saw his eyes.
It happened at the same time, but now if it was off.
What happens, though, is if I do it on purpose to fuck up, in Brent's eyes, I can tell that he's discombobulated. On that one, his eyes had a glimmer, and he was excited about it. Like, it probably perfect. Almost gave him a hard on.
Yeah, the timing was amazing.
The first time a serial killer kills.
I won't say kind of almost.
Yeah.
Kind of almost.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was some blood flow. It moved. I'll say that it moved. So,
well, starting off again, do a couple of patrons. They go to the website and they give us money for God knows.
The thank yous are overwhelming, to be honest. I think we have like 35 thank yous over the last two episodes or something, and more came in to email. That doesn't mean don't do it. We still need it.
No, we're getting to you.
Yeah.
Because there's two awesome things in life are going to websites and giving us money.
Yeah.
Those are two awesome things.
You have two joyful moments right there. Like as soon as the page loads, you should be excited.
Yeah. You're like, I went to a website. That's an awesome thing to do. That's something you couldn't have done 20 years ago.
As much as I love Oriental Top Ramen with extreme cheddar goldfish crackers, I can't feed my family that every night like I did last night.
That's true.
It's good, but
I am running out of things to eat. It's getting scary.
It's like vitamin deficiency going to happen.
And then, you know, you get there. I basically give you a rundown of the experience. You get there and you're like, what is this? Like, oh, what's this? It looks like Jesus, right? And then basically you watch a video of Jesus kind of telling you to give us money.
Right.
And you're like, oh, okay.
After being really racist.
Yeah. Yeah. Racist Jesus. Yeah. That's white Jesus.
Like he is.
I wonder if we can get black Jesus to do a video. That would be pretty good. Or Jesus to put on blackface.
That
would be good.
That would be funny. Anyway, so that, and then you have a fucking, just a slurry of options. Is that a word?
Sure.
I think it's a drink at 7-Eleven.
Like a
Taco Bell has it. There's a happy hour at Taco Bell.
No, that's Indian. It's Indian 7-Eleven. It's slurry.
It's got curry in it. It's a spicy frozen drink.
Yeah.
Slurry.
And I mean, there's just a pillage.
I don't think you know what that word
means. A rainbow of fucking
flavors.
Yeah. A barrage. Mm-hmm. Of options.
Have you guys seen the Skittles commercial? It's not a Skittles commercial.
There's some weird ones.
There's a husband and wife, a bride and groom, I will say.
Mm-hmm.
And the groom is having sex with the bride in like a hotel room, and they're wearing the tuxedo and the dress. And then he says, I'm going to come. Or he says, it's going to come. And then he turns her around and sprays her in the face with Skittles. And then a Skittles logo comes up. I mean, it had to be professionally fucking filmed. I'm not saying Skittles did it, but somebody, I mean, it's like fucking Skittles commercial level film.
No, they have some weird.
They could not
Skittles
have done that.
I think they probably did.
Yeah. My buddy, Joe, from, Float Indigo in Thailand sent me that video this morning. And I was like, that cannot be like one of those banned European commercials. There's no way they pitched
where
that.
Where she goes, like, where the girl that needs glasses goes down on the stick shift.
Yeah.
Have you seen that one? No. She's, and it's an eye commercial. Like, they're in a car. It's a stick shift. And, like, they're, like, kissing and stuff. And all of a sudden, she goes down and starts fucking just sucking the gear shift. And it's, like, need glasses? Like, fucking whatever, optical? And it's like, Jesus Christ.
You know what I think happens? I think the film crew just goes rogue. Like, they're like, yeah, that's probably a wrap. Let's make them spray Skittles all over her face, like, after Maybe. Doggy style. I think that's what happens. They just go rogue. The equipment's in place, and they make the alternate commercial.
Maybe that's and pretty they leak funny, it. Like an yeah. alternate ending.
Could be. Mm-hmm.
That's pretty good. That's perfect marketing because it's not. You can't do it on TV.
It's when they're quitting their job.
Internet's
they're like,
fine.
I'm fucking quitting right. tomorrow. That's a no. Wrap.
Somebody should have got a raise with that. Really.
Did.
So
I did.
Yeah. So basically, you see. Yeah, you see the entourage of options down the side of the
You're
menu.
Just throwing out.
And you know, you can select one. And give us, it starts at $40 and you can give us any more than that that you want.
it starts at less than that.
Does it?
Yes.
Not for me. I only notice the people that, who are these people? $10. This is bullshit. So anyway,
I'd like to say the opposite. Feel free to give us a dollar. I think a lot of people are like hesitant to do the dollar.
Yeah,
you feel like you're
sure.
being cheap.
Yeah, no,
it's not being cheap.
No.
Thank you.
No, because I don't have a dollar to give a podcast. And if I did, though, I would give it to us.
He would give it to Chris Smotherman for blowjobs.
Yeah,
as already stated.
I mean, really though, if it's only 50, I can have a yard sale next weekend and we can do this. Yeah. Like, I'm into it. So I'll just go ahead talk about the first person I looked up. Dave did all the last ones. I looked up Rob Gomez. He's actually an industry man who works in Michigan building cars at a car factory that was shut down 6 years ago. I
from
don't,
new old stock?
Yeah, new old stock. He's putting together cars and selling them illegally and, you know, making a living out of it. So congratulations,
that's smart.
Rob Gomez, you're doing good.
I talked to someone who is simply known as Cassandra. The last name's on here, they're like Prince Madonna status. And the reason is because they're in the movie business. They're actually a stunt double in shitty movies.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Like B movies?
Yeah.
Or even shittier.
Yeah. It's a girl too, is what's cool. So she has short hair. She does both sides. She switches teams. It doesn't matter.
But so shitty. They put a beard on her and like fucking make her run around as like the bad Tom Cruise.
It's because it's shitty movies. It doesn't matter. Yeah.
That's good. Yeah. She doesn't even look like the other person. Like, it's just like cuts to this person. You're like, what just happened? Oh, jump scene. The next one I did was Sarah Garrett. And again, Sarah Garrett didn't have any social media stuff except for Tinder. So as we do, we stalked the Tinder profile. And her name on Tinder, actually, she goes by an AKA, and it's Stubby Bunny. I don't think that it's short. It's that she refuses to go bald down there, and she just keeps the stubble. And so it's just like a warning. Yeah.
I thought
a warning
she was the first amputee playmate or something cool.
That would be weird. But this one is it's just a warning, and it says on her page, warning for those of you who like to go down.
You're going to have a rash.
You're going to have a rough ride ahead. Like, that's all it says.
Have you gotten that rash before? That's no fun. That is no fun.
That was, I don't know if you could see, you couldn't see the look on his face, but that look was a yes.
Yeah.
Serious.
It's like the old Red Wings.
This one kind of creeped me out. I talked to Bridget.
I just need to pause real quick because I just when you leaned back and laughed, I was just like overwhelmed by your manly beard again.
No, thank you.
It moved. Growing. I'll say it moved again.
It moved. Moved.
Yeah.
I'm trying to get that Geraldo mustache.
Right now we're like Velcro though. Like, we pull off the kiss, we'll be stuck.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause mine's like a little more brittle and yours is like a little wiry. It's just going to like go
It'll
in.
Grab there for sure. We should try it when we're done. Let's rub our chins together.
No, maybe we could.
I'm not scared.
That'd be funny.
Yeah. You got to get that on film.
Can we go live? Facebook Live?
And rub our beards together. So yeah, I talked to Bridget O'Malley, and this is creepy. She's a dentist, and she specializes in recycled fillings. So apparently they get those when they're done with them. At the morgue during the embalmment process, they pull the fillings and they get smelted down. I mean, I guess it's sanitary. Metal's metal. Once it's burned.
No, remember we have the one patron who goes around and takes, who does. Yeah. Remember? I remember. We have the one patron who goes around and does recycle. They do the fillings. Remember they take the teeth from dead people and stuff.
Oh really?
Yeah.
Well, that's a fucking thing then, I guess.
Maybe they sell it to them. That's crazy. That's kind of creepy.
I think they better have a disclaimer if that shit's on the market. That's for sure.
My turn again. Yeah. We do one more.
We'll do one more.
Sure, you do one more. I'll do one more too.
Okay. Annie Hatfield, mm-hmm. Who only has a Google Plus account. I couldn't get into it. Yeah, I don't have a Google Plus. I don't think anybody does except for her. She's like the only one.
Google forces you to make a Google Plus just to make it look like you. Everyone who has a Gmail has a Google
Plus.
Has
a Google Plus.
But you never fucking logged into that shit, yeah, for the record.
So Annie Hatfield, who only has a Google Plus.
And a feud.
And a feud. Mm-hmm. What's that? A
couple people got that. Go ahead.
She does photography. Which I got that from her email because there was nothing on her profile that I could find. I had to hit her up and, I was kind of upset to find out that she does morgue photography.
What's with all the death?
I don't know.
I feel like this is subliminally influenced by the, maybe by the episodes we're doing.
Well, the
problem be because this shit's all true.
This is the thing though. Like it gets creepier. Okay. She does morgue photography, mm-hmm. but the morgues don't know about it. and
that's creepy.
Technically it's breaking and entering
and it's porn,
right?
So
there is breaking and then entering.
Yes, that's exactly what happens, because sometimes when you position those stale bodies, you know, they're just in rigor mortis, you have to break.
Rigor mortis is the best boner you'll ever get.
Yeah
at that point it's a baby holding an apple.
So sometimes you have to break a bone in order to get the insertion.
It's a baby holding an apple.
You never had a good boner if you don't know, sir. No. You take the spearmint rhino pills or whatever the fuck it's called, the electric
spearmint
seal.
Rhinos.
The electric,
the black
seal.
Rhinos. Yeah. The black diamond rhinos.
Yeah, you take those truck driver pills from the liquor store, and will know what a baby arm real. Holding an apple is.
Yeah. It fucking hurts. Let me tell you what.
Lasting more than 4 hours, yes. I talked to Dylan Bauman, and he's a pro bowler, which, you know,
we have another one of those.
But this is the thing. This was his bragging rights. He's sponsored by Dove Body Wash. He's fucking what big time. Yeah.
Well, that's good because bowlers are stinky.
Yeah. Stinky fingers.
Call that nacho
stinky
cheese.
Fingers.
Yeah.
They're constantly just.
Yeah.
They're constantly fingering.
They live off of bowling alley food.
Yeah. Fucking fried fish and fucking Dr. Pepper. Yeah.
Hot dog water.
Oh.
Yeah. If it comes in
and
a basket.
They're constantly fingering balls. It's gross.
I had more jokes, but I'm stopping on that.
Okay. All right.
Other things.
Did we talk about Yucateco? Thank you. Yucateco.
Does that count? No. This week I pulled a Brad and I put, but I stepped it up. You did, what'd you put in barbecue sauce?
I put black. Yeah.
I did triple X, obviously, because I'm Brent motherfucking.
It's different.
Hassle.
It's not any hotter. It's diluting it.
That is not, that is different. It's not. Any it's hotter is what you're trying to say? No. Fuck yes. It is hotter than black. Black is not that hot. Black's just smoky, dude.
Why are you being racist?
I could swish with that shit after brushing my teeth. Mm-hmm. It's delicious, but it is not hot. The black is not hot.
I didn't say it was. I said it's not.
I'm trying to give you some credit for a good recipe. Everybody like when we fight? Everyone loves it when we fight. I love it when we fight.
I don't.
But
well, let's go black in time and start over.
I mixed triple X with barbecue sauce. And it is fucking delicious. There's a fusion that happens. I thought the triple X couldn't get better. And I'm still on the fence. I like it in the raw, but barbecue sauce is delicious. Triple X is delicious. And together they are captain fucking delicious. It was good.
Yeah. I know. I know this.
So if you haven't tried that, try it. And I mean, it probably works with everything. I don't know. All of the El Yucateco can be mixed with something probably. I think ranch is probably the neutral thing. You could put any of those in ranch.
Yes, I believe so.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would agree.
So check out on Facebook. We're doing a post weekly. Brent will post something. If you post on there something funny, something that gets picked, El Yucateco or us will pick it and you will win some sauce.
And Leslie, I
talked
to her.
Sack.
She gave her husband a huge case of the hot dicks. It was a baby arm holding a spicy apple.
It was a red apple
for sure.
Yeah, it's rough.
He's a black man.
You use triple X to just, like, it's dark in the room and you grab the bottle of triple X instead of the lotion to start the
That's not
process.
How it happened. They had fried chicken.
Okay.
And she put sauce all over it and just crawled into the table and went, and he wasn't going to say no. You know, a man's not going to say no to a blowjob. So she ate the hot sauce, went for the blowjob, case of the hot dicks. It's bittersweet.
Hmm.
No?
That sucks.
Dave looks uncomfortable. Don't make me crawl under this table.
Yeah, because he'll do it.
You think I don't have it in my pocket? And actually, it's hanging out of the front door.
So we have one more order of business, and that's this rum.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So I have in front of me a canister of Havana Club rum, triple barrel aged rum. And the fine gentleman, we already shouted him out on another episode. I was rude, like I am. It's expected. I forgot the name. I didn't get the name.
The name.
And Brent was busy, and we didn't pick his name up, so we forgot it. We have so much shit going on. So again, we're gonna post. But when you bring us this rum from Cuba, you and your dad went. We're gonna have a little taste of it now.
And let us know who you are, because we will definitely shut you out. But right now, we're gonna drink it.
Yep, sounds good. Oh. You didn't even. Oh, do we?
Are no,
we
I was just some? Giving it clinking? A I was giving it a sniff.
All right.
Okay.
That's fucking different.
Oh, that's man. Good.
I mean, I don't
that know does that not taste like rum.
No. I don't know that I've had rum just like straight though. Like usually it's.
I have. It's usually fucking Captain Morgan spicy. Like
it already tastes like a mixed drink.
Well, Captain Morgan's spiced rum. I wasn't saying it's spicy.
So our friend owns the Tiki Bar, which just got voted in like the top seven in Southern California or something, which I think is a very big deal.
Well, there's only seven.
There's eight. There's eight, to be fair. We're not trying to take anything away. It wasn't dead last. But our friend Roy owns Tiki Co. in Bakersfield, and he came down to tour the studio. And when he saw that...
Busted a nut?
Yeah. It was like he collected Barbies, and that was the 1960 OG one still in the pack.
Spider-Man number one.
Yeah.
Superman number one.
Yeah.
I say Barbies because it was more of a feminine reaction, but he was like, yeah. He tiptoed. He tiptoed, and his wrist bent hard, and he was really excited. Wow. And he looked at his friend, who's from Burma, and that's his twink.
Burma, Alabama.
Yeah. Our friend Freddie. Yeah, they looked at each other, and I thought they might kiss, but they didn't. They withheld, and then they immediately offered to come down here and set up an entire bar and make us drinks based off of that rum alone. So if you gave that to us, obviously that's some cool shit that we don't even know about, because it made two straight men turn twink and fucking Barbie collector. So,
and it's delicious.
Please tell us your name. Yeah.
It is good. Thank you.
So today's topic is one that I will admit I knew absolutely nothing about.
Same here. I mean, I knew a lot about those fuckers hiding in trees, sniping.
Yeah. Of course.
Know about that.
Yeah.
But so, the cool thing too is this topic was actually sourced from the fan group. Like there's an upvote post inside the SK Ultra fan group, and this got voted to the top by the members inside there. So that's kind of cool. So there's a ton of those. If you have topics, I love hearing them, but stop direct messaging them to me because I'm going to fucking forget them.
We do forget.
Yeah, that's the problem.
There's so many.
They're all over the place. There's like some in Facebook. There's some on every Instagram account. They're written on post-its and shit. That's a perfect place to do it. And then the whole crew will vote on it.
Yeah, you have to understand we manage multiple Instagram accounts, Facebook, Twitter stuff. Like there's so many accounts we get messages on.
It's beneficial to you if you really want your topic to be effectively considered. Just go in that group. It's pinned to the top. Click pinned posts and then put your thing in there.
Because Brent's never out of there.
Yeah, like I live in there. I'm in right now. Does. Who's there? Let's see who's there. Go
ahead. So we found out about this unit 731. And again, I guess I was especially surprised because I'm a bit of a World War II nut. Like I study World War II. I read about it a lot. Like I'm not like,
I didn't really get this cause it was just an apartment for rent in Manhattan. Right. I don't understand what the big deal about it is.
Brad read the wrong thing. Yeah.
Yeah. But. Well, no, I told him the wrong thing. He asked what it was. I told him.
He said 730.
Unit 730.
So I'm looking it up and it's apartments are coming up. Craigslist. I'm like, what the fuck is
well,
this?
I had like a one day, Mandela effect because Brent and I talked about it and we were looking into it at the shop and we were like, oh shit, this thing is fucking crazy. And then, and it was unit 731. The next day I was doing Google searches on unit 730 and I couldn't find anything. And I was like, what the fuck? It's totally disappeared in one day. Like yesterday,
like there was fucking Bernstein Bears. It's real.
But and then Google was like, did you mean unit 731? And I was like, yes, Google. Thank you, my brilliant overlord. But Unit 731. So Unit 731 was a Japanese, I don't even know what to call it.
It's like their SK Ultra, but worse or something. Maybe they're like.
No, it was their center for
SK Ultra for the record.
Their center for chemical and biological warfare.
Yeah.
Like they basically built.
I say that because of the experimentation on human subjects.
Yeah, but they did that. For biological research purposes, but they
basically. I was trying to relate it to something that actually like human specimens.
I mean,
you know what I mean?
Yeah. They weren't trying to, actually they were trying to further their medical knowledge, sure. like for their soldiers, you right. know, like, so when somebody gets hit with something, say like, you know, frozen body parts, you know, they right. get frostbite. Yeah. They were trying to figure out if they can defrost them, what they could yeah. do.
Just in case you get syphilis and raped and they need to sew your arm on yes. the other side. You know, that's valuable.
It happens.
Yeah, they know how to
I'm
do
I'm sure there's somebody
stuff.
Out there no. that has been raped and has syphilis at the same time.
Yeah. yeah. And so, has their arm cut off and needs it yeah. sewn onto the
and
other.
The reason that it can be fixed now is because of this.
Thanks so. To the diligent work of the Japanese.
Yes. Right. Thank so, you. So, thank you.
Unit 731. So it was in occupied northern China, right? Because during the war, the what they called the Nipponese army ended up conquering a whole lot of Asia.
So Nipponese is a real word.
Nippon means Nippon. Japan.
Yeah. yeah.
So that's
the,
my guitar.
Nippon the Nipponese army conquered a lot of China, a lot of Asia. I mean, they just whooped ass. Like, we were like an afterthought. It was like, oh, by the way, we should fuck up Pearl Harbor too.
Ping Fang. They
did a ton of stuff. So this was the largest, most comprehensive biological warfare program ever conducted on the planet Earth. They said it was a lumber mill at first, and then they said it was a water purification plant just to justify what was happening there. And it was officially known in the Japanese government as the Epidemic Prevention and Water Purification Department of the Kwangtung Army. Like, that was what it was officially called.
Yeah.
Just to give you, we'll go into the gory details here shortly, but the numbers don't match up, but they're horrible. So I saw,
it's because it's not really, I mean, it's understandable that they don't match up. You have a occupied China and they're randomly killing people.
Right. It wasn't tracked. It wasn't, yeah,
there was no tracking.
I take that back. It probably was tracked, but as the war ended, they tried to destroy all yes. evidence of what it was they were doing. But the estimates are that somewhere between 650 people a year, some articles say 3,000 people a year, some articles said 10,000 people per year were brought in to Unit 731 to be experimented on. And the estimates are that somewhere between 200,000 and 400,000 civilians were killed using biological yeah. warfare that was developed here. So it was yeah. on the one hand, we had somewhere between 650 and 10,000 people a year being brought there to be experimented yeah. on. But then also there was somewhere between 200 and 400,000 people that were killed based on the techniques that yeah. they derived.
I was like, oh, it's going to be like, oh, it's crazy. This is going to be like Joseph Mengele. Like, you know, like, oh, that's they're going to be cutting people too. Up. They had over 1,000 different scientists there.
Yeah.
And people of dentists, you know, doctors of different sorts. Oh, it was massive. Scientists. And the experiments they did, though, the way that they did them and how it was set up was fucking crazy.
I didn't know what vivisection was until I had to look it up.
You kind of have
crazy.
To.
My
yeah,
God.
Yeah.
yeah. Yeah.
So let's talk about the scale. Well, first of all, so it was originally set up by the Kempeitai, which were the military police, kind of like the SS for Japan. But the Kempeitai established it and
under the order of Shiroishi, which yeah. was the mastermind, the brain, you know, this was his baby.
And eventually he took it over with yes. the army. So yes. it started as an SS, you know, Kempeitai secret police thing, but then it became an army thing mid-war.
He oversaw the entire construction of the whole facility.
Right. Right.
So he was the head of construction and basically fortifying this, building, you know, all of the buildings, all of the different sections of it. He was the one that set it all up and designed it.
They started building it in 1934, the yep. facility. They didn't give it the name of Unit 731 until 1941, given a huge budget, right? So General Ishii had to level 8 villages in order to build this compound that was over 150 buildings over 4 square miles.
Yeah.
I mean, massive, massive, massive.
And it was what, 50 miles from about 3 million people who lived in Ping Fan.
Yeah.
Like that was the roughly the estimate of how the distance, I guess.
Right. It had its own airport, its own railway line, barracks, dungeons, labs, operating rooms, a crematorium, a fucking bar, a movie theater, a Shinto temple. It was massive.
To give you an idea of how fucking fortified this was, the main housing part, the main building part of the entire structure, when they went to after the war, when everything was done and Japan surrendered, they were told to go in and basically like blow everything up and destroy everything. They actually couldn't take down the building.
Yeah.
Like they bombed the building and it didn't fall.
Several of the buildings. They planted explosives in all the buildings and detonated on their retreat. And a lot of the buildings were just kind of lightly damaged because of how chilling. They were built. Yeah.
Huffed and they puffed. Yep. It was the big battle.
Couldn't blow.
And the
buildings down.
Fucked up thing is there were seven. This was unit 731. There were seven other units scattered all throughout the Nipponese Empire, all throughout what Japan had conquered. And they were all under Ishii's command. One studied plagues. One ran a bacteria factory. One of them did experiments on human food and water deprivation. One of them just looked at typhoid, like just fucking crazy. So but unit 731 was where all of the research efforts of these other units landed, and this was the main hub of what it was they were doing. So it's like while the US were working on the nuclear bomb, while Britain was working on the computer, while the Germans had concentration camps, they had this going on. They were like biological putting all warfare. Of their money into biological
and
warfare.
The scary thing, like besides this whole thing, like the biological warfare and all the experiments and shit, the scary thing is the plan was to create some deadly shit and get it to the U.S.
That was part of the plans.
Yeah.
That was part of the plan. So there were eight divisions. Division one did research on the bubonic plague, cholera, anthrax, typhoid, and tuberculosis using live human test subjects. Yeah. A prison was constructed to contain around 300 or 400 people just to expose them to these particular diseases. That was Division One. Division Two looked at biological weapons to be used in the field, specifically ways to spread germs and to spread parasites. Division Three was working on bombshells that contained biological agents. Division Four did bacteria mass production and storage. Division Five was training and personnel. That's where your human resources is.
IT
support.
Like, you got a complaint. Yeah, you go there and talk to
them. That was Division Five.
My typewriter's jammed.
Go to Division Five. Yeah. Do not go to Division Four.
Yeah, my knife got stuck in the patient.
Plague fleas. Damn it.
Damn it.
Yeah, that's crazy.
And then Division 6 through 8 were equipment, medical, and administrative units. So these were the
divisions. Paper and pencil.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So the other thing that I read, which I thought was crazy, was that the Geneva Convention was passed in 1925, and the Geneva Convention was a reaction to World War I, and it banned biological and chemical weaponry because World War I was so fucked up.
Chlorine gas.
So the Geneva
just didn't give a fuck. There was no rules. That was the first giant war, and they were just like, whatever it takes. There's no rules. I will fucking stick my thumb in your eye and bite your balls.
And there really still is no rules.
Right. There's still But we act. But the Geneva Convention came out.
Kind of. I mean,
like everybody signed up with the Geneva Convention because nobody wanted this shit done to themselves. So everybody kind of reluctantly said, "Yeah, we won't do it to other people either."
Mustard gas, chlorine gas, so bad.
Japan is on, they were signed in on the Geneva Convention.
Yeah. But basically the Japanese officials during World War II, as it was just like spreading, they were thinking about, well, shit, if there's an entire convention banning this thing,
it must be
awesome.
Yeah.
So like the fact
and the thing is though, that if you're developing it, no one else is using it. They're not ready for it.
Right.
They're not going to be able to defend against it.
Yeah. So their rationale was, if it's that awful, we need to be pursuing this. Yeah. So they end up doing this, and it's fucking just a horror show. I don't know. I don't even know what experiments to fucking start with, but
start with the bubonic plague.
Codename Maruta is what the part of sending the biological weapons into the civilian population were. But yeah, start with
the bubonic plague because that shit's crazy. And they're fucking dealing with it in this unit, and they're infecting people with it.
Yep.
And they figure out that a good carrier for the bubonic plague are fleas.
Right.
Yeah, it's like some shit out of a sci-fi movie.
Yeah.
They literally fly over and drop fleas on populations.
Yeah. So they at first they started like spraying them. Like they would literally fly over villages and towns of millions of people and spray fleas.
Yeah.
Like let them fly from the fucking and the know,
other,
plane.
The other thing they would do is I read there was an interview that the BBC did with a guy named Wu Shijian, who's like 70 something years old.
He was the pilot.
And well, right. No, he was a kid on the ground when this was happening.
Yeah,
and
he survived. Said that, yeah.
I'm sorry. He was younger, I think, but his brother. No, he was 11 in 1940. His brother got sick and everybody was so paranoid about sickness at the time because it was war conditions, et cetera, that they had to hide the sick brother in a storage shed.
Oh, shit.
Because if the landlords or anyone knew that someone was sick, they would have evicted all of them and they would have been homeless and starving and whatever. So he remembers the fear of sickness and all this from being there. But then also they were all starving. It was like fucking horrible war conditions. And all of a sudden they remembered that Japanese planes started flying by and dropping bombs. Yeah. But when the bombs hit, nothing exploded. They broke open and they were full of wheat and corn and fleas
clothes and fleas.
Yeah. So they developped a ceramic bombshell that they packed all that shit in.
That was division three. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Flew over and fucking dropped these things in towns. And it was crazy.
And they're filled with food so that everybody runs straight towards them.
And the other thing, the Japanese soldiers would come and hand out anthrax-infused candy to all the kids, Chinese kids, right? So they drop these bombs full of fleas that are fucking filled with the bubonic plague.
How many superheroes were in the shed? That's what I want to know. I don't know. The kid that they hid in the shed? He was like Spider-Man. He was in darkness and turned into a bubonic flea man.
But they said that it was so bad that 3 out of 4 people died.
His power just makes you itch, though. He just makes you itch. No good.
But the other thing that they would do as part of this Operation Maruta, they would drop those bombs, but they would also, in areas where they didn't drop the bombs or in some of the areas, and again, this same guy remembers this, like the Japanese would send the army with big medical teams and the medical teams would go to a village and quote unquote inspect everyone and give them vaccinations against the diseases that were currently spreading because they dropped these bombs. But every single person that they inspected and gave a vaccine to got sick because they weren't vaccines. They were just the fucking thing.
They were giving them the plague. They were giving them fucking scarlet fever.
And that's why I don't get the blue shot. Dude, yeah. They're just doing it to condition you until one day
everybody goes to get the flu shot.
It's going
to
be get a flu shot.
The funny thing is though, like I never get the flu shot. I never get the flu. Yeah. Like they're giving you the flu. Like
pretty much
until they don't. Yeah, it's drink the Kool-Aid until today it has poison. That's what we're doing. Yep.
So they say that roughly 70% of the experimented people were Chinese, and then the other 30% were made up from Russians, Mongolians, Koreans. Some people think allied prisoners of war. Some people contest that and think that I'm sure it happened, but they say it wasn't in any way a major population.
No, there wasn't a major population, but there was some guys in a prison camp, POW camp, what was it, like 500 miles away, that got taken to 731. And they basically, all of a sudden, they were getting medical care and they were like, what the fuck's going on? Like, we've been here 3 years and never had any medical care, you know, or 2 years or whatever. They gave them all, they were giving them vaccines, telling them that they were doing all this shit, but really they were infecting them with a bunch of different shit. They were giving them all kinds of shit and fucking with them. So
there are no known survivors from 731.
No.
There's like infants born in captivity.
Nope.
Children in there. No one. Nope. There's no known survivors.
No known survivors.
So so that's the problem with these guys' statements. But they were at another camp. So they said that
that's because you can't see the flea. Well, they all get really small. They're like Ant-Man.
Yeah.
That's the side effect.
They said though that a few of the guys got taken to 731, never came back. That the Japanese would come to wherever they were at, give them some medical care, do their little, you know, looking them over, doing all the stuff, and they would get sick and all kinds of shit, but they didn't get sent.
Right.
So
they lured them in with rice cream.
Yeah.
It's Japanese ice cream. They have rice cream parlors everywhere, and they got them used to it, and then they put the stuff in there.
No? Oh, really?
Rice cream? No, nothing.
No.
Okay.
No. Some of the others, like some of the experiments, they would do experiments designed to test the efficacy of grenades and firearms.
Just tie them to stakes, yes, like Vladimir status, no, they but
had,
not in your
they
butt.
Had flat, they had flat wood bed planks, like these, and they would strap them to them straight up and down.
And then just blow play, up grenades no, distances.
They would play, like the crazy thing is you look at the diagram, they were placed like in an octagon like shape going outward. So everybody was spaced like
a spiral,
10 or 15 feet apart in different positions, all facing towards the center where the bomb's going to detonate. And then they would explode the bomb, and basically it was to see if they could save people that had shrapnel, you know, all that good stuff. So
right,
fucking majority of them would die right off the bat. They're getting blown up. And then they're like, oh, this guy's got fucking shrapnel. We'll take him in here and we'll see if we can save him, you know, due to, you know, shrapnel injuries, right, you know, right, explosions. Most times they didn't save the people. And then, but that was for
not most of the time.
Yeah.
No, they had no reason to save them. Yeah. They just looked at him and said, no, we could totally save that
Did
guy.
You see the thing where they would bring him in and then they would have a guy like listening to him with a stethoscope, like to listen for the heart to beat.
So that they wouldn't get blood all over.
Yeah. Cause if they cut, they would immediately after the heart stopped, they would cut into him. But if they did it a second too soon, the blood would still be pumping and it would explode all over everybody and possibly give them the diseases and shit that the people had. So they had like this strict, like fucking, like if somebody listens and then cuts them open right after when they give them the go ahead, like it's some weird shit.
No, it's fucking rough. And there was even, they would inject prisoners with infected animal blood just to
salt water.
Yeah. Salt yeah. water,
Why?
Air, they would
that just makes you fart.
Yeah.
Blood bubble guts.
They called them logs, and it was yeah. part of because it was a fake lumber mill, but it was also because it conditioned all the guards and all the medical personnel to see them as inanimate objects.
You know the other reason they called them logs? Because they would go collect like around town when they got low on whatever, they would go get just common criminals, bandits, fucking
they would just scoop up whoever.
Anyone, pretty
yeah,
much.
It would scoop
and they
up
would
whoever.
Roll them in straw mats, like, and stack them in a train. And there was a witness. I watched this documentary of this guy talking about he saw them pull straw mats rolled up that were tied with metal wire and lay them on the ground in stacks.
And they
like,
yelled
he
logs.
He was like, what is yeah. that? And they yelled logs or whatever. And then he was looking closely and saw blood coming out of the mats. And then finally he saw heads sticking out of the ends of them.
And feet and moving arms on the other side moving. Of the shit. Yeah.
So they would just roll them so they could stack them.
Fuck.
Yeah, so they rolled them up. That's why that's the real reason why they called them logs. It was a lumber mill disguise, but then when they brought the trains in to offload the victims,
they were
rolled
logs.
Up in straw mats yeah. so they could stack them. Can you imagine how claustrophobic that would fucking be? That's horrible.
That's the worst part
that's
of
a fucking
it.
Nightmare.
That's the least fucking yeah, bit of my worries.
Oh,
like,
fuck.
Oof. I wonder when you're claustrophobic, if you just get past that super fucking freak out, does it all go calm?
You could probably, people pass out.
That's probably
I'm
what
sure
happens.
A whole lot of
I bet you just black the
die.
Fuck out.
It's just like pain. Like as soon as so much pain's inflicted upon you, you pass out.
Well, I know just getting an MRI one time, I was like, I can't breathe. Hey, I can't breathe. I started panting. They're like, calm down. Just breathe through your nose. I was like, I wasn't even claustrophobic. I don't know what the fuck. I never had that happen.
It happens.
Yeah. So another thing is there was a guy that I read about named Takeo Wano. He was in his 70s when they interviewed him. He was a medical worker in Unit 731. And most of the
Some of the experiments.
Yeah, like, most of
fucking nuts.
Most of anything that we know about Unit 731 actually came from people who worked there who were then just
snuck away. They didn't sneak away. They never charged anybody.
Oh yeah.
Workers.
No, we'll definitely get there. Cause that's the fucked
everybody
up
who was a part of 731, all of the doctors, all of the scientists went home to their families.
So Takeo Wano, said that he once saw a 6 foot high glass jar in which a Western man who he thinks was probably Russian was pickled in formaldehyde and had been cut down the middle vertically. And they just had him in a big fucking jar. And it was
they started the bodies exhibit.
It was the same room with a bunch of pickled feet that were labeled American, English, Frenchman, Chinese, Korean, and Mongolian.
Damn.
Yeah.
Nice. They're seeing who pickles better.
Yeah.
I just like, oh, the French guy's really pickled good. He's
a horror show. Just fucking horror show beyond horror show.
Yeah.
Like, there was another member of Unit 731.
How disconnected from humanity?
I don't understand.
There's no just following orders, that whole fucking experiment thing to prove how people get away with that. The part with the fucking frostbite, where they dip their fucking arm and expose them to cold and then hit them with a board, or they hit them with a stick and it sounds like a wooden board. That's how they know how frozen it is.
Yeah.
That is fucking insane. Then they let them thaw out just to see what would happen.
Yeah.
And there was one that was, I'm trying to find it in my notes because it was particularly brutal, but they took one of the people that they exposed them, like they stuck their arms in frozen water and then they left them outside so that their limbs would freeze.
Yeah.
And then
it's negative 50 degrees outside.
Right. Right. Oh,
the temperature. Negative 40 to negative 50 degrees.
I've been in negative -7. What's the coldest you've ever been in? He's from Michigan.
I've been around zero.
I've been in negative 7. I worked in a kitchen is why. So Dave probably.
I've been in the negative 20s.
Jesus.
And it's fucking completely.
With your face fully exposed.
Once you get down like to 20 degrees, like anything below that is just fucking.
You feel like you don't have nose hairs, but you have nose hairs. Immediately that shit's like rock hard stiff. Yeah.
So one of them was there, and this is, there's a museum currently on the site of where Unit 731 was that shows all the fucking atrocities. And one of the videos that's just on a constant loop so people can see this is a video of a Chinese woman who had her arms frozen stiff with ice, and then they would freeze her stiff and then place her in a vat of hot water to see how it would thaw. And there's another video.
That would hurt.
There's another video that shows someone who freezes their arms, and then there's a Japanese doctor who has a board and is just hitting their frozen arms to strip all the flesh of it down to the bone.
God.
And the woman is alive and just screaming. Yeah. But she's strapped down and they're just breaking the frozen skin off with a fucking piece of wood.
My God.
I don't even think there's any horror movies that
even
the Saw shit, like it's still not that.
No. Prisoners tied to stakes, and they had a tank that was filled with just like poisonous gas, and it would drive through where all the prisoners were tied with stakes and just release the gas to see how long it took everyone to die based on proximity. But one of the Japanese observers who was retelling this story said that they remember that everybody, all the observers that were standing there, like the wind shifted. Yeah. So all the poisonous gas pushed
everyone had to run or they would fucking die. During one of the attacks, like 1700 of their people died or something.
Well, no, over the course, like 1700 or 1700 Japanese owned people died of mishandling materials and all that good stuff, wind shifting and they're getting, so it wasn't, it
that
wasn't,
was specifically in 19, like 1942 alone.
Yeah.
1700 Japanese
which
soldiers
is nothing,
became
nothing compared to what they were doing to everybody else, like fucking releasing the bubonic plague, like just fucking people up. I mean, they were brutal. The Japanese are fucking brutal. Like, they are insane.
They had,
and we're allies with them.
They had their limbs amputated just to see how long it would take them to bleed out,
and then try to sew them back on the wrong side.
Exactly.
Yeah. See what happens.
Because why not?
I did that with G.I. Joe's when I was little. There was a lot less blood though.
Some prisoners had their stomachs surgically removed and then had their esophagus reattached to their intestines.
We do that. It's a gastric bypass.
They would stab them with the bayonets. They would have people hung up and they would stab them in the guts with the bayonets and just have their guts just come out.
Like why? What are you going to learn from that? Like
the esophagus to the intestine thing's kind of cool though. You just eat pizza, shit pizza. Mm. Like, yeah, maybe absorb some along the way. That's some quick weight loss. As long as they put it back, right?
Human centipede. human centipede yourself.
Human brinipede,
Ooh. Mm.
So one thing which just speaks to the horror, like another thing that would happen is they would, part of what they were studying was also sexually transmitted diseases. So they would force people to have sex with other people to infect them with STDs so they could watch. They would get the women pregnant so they could monitor whether or not the baby was sick.
Yeah.
And then if not, they would have the baby that they could do experiments on later. Yeah.
They would rape them. They would rape all of the women, get them pregnant and fucking experiment. Every single woman, like, this is not like,
I read one where the guy, they were talking about a couple guards had to do an experiment scheduled, for a couple girls, but they had time to kill between. So he went to the cell, unlocked the cell, went in and raped the girl. And when he was done raping the girl, the other guy was like, oh, I'm going to do it too. So they went to the next cell and unlocked it. But that girl had been a frostbite experiment person, and they're missing fingers. Her bones were black and rotten with gangrene. And then he's like, ah, I'm going to rape her anyway. And when he went to do it, her genitals were inflamed and festered and pussing out, and he's like, ah, nah, we'll just do the experiment.
Blue waffles.
Like, and then he just fucking went back to work.
Went back to work doing the other shit. But is there not a chart?
Okay, Google, blue waffles.
Oof. So your mom is getting blamed on social media for helping Tech N9ne steal Sonic the Hedgehog's shoes from Walmart right now.
Oh yeah.
And then
shout out to who posted that.
I'll get back to it. It was Donnie Mays.
Yeah, he posted a picture. He actually saw Tech N9ne, took a picture of him, and was talking to him about the podcast. So
thank you.
So
we should get our cease and desist any day now.
Using Tech N9ne's music. Yeah, thanks, Donnie. Yeah, you fucking dick.
Lucy Robinson corrected that they were he liberated them from Walmart. Yeah.
And actually, those are expensive shoes. So.
Probably.
Yeah, I'm sure
they're.
So part of what all this stuff is, so supposedly there was a report that was written in 1945 that just came out recently, and it was a summary of the unit's research.
Say recent, huh?
Yeah. And it was basically talking about how it was radically unlike Auschwitz. Like, they weren't doing these things because it was like the inferior Jewish race. Like, it was different than that. It was like this, in a way, like even worse. They were just doing it to fucking anybody they could find. But at the same time, they were talking about the fact that the end run of this was supposed good. Like, they were doing this because they wanted to find out how to cure these diseases when they hit Japan. They wanted to know how to help Japanese soldiers who had frostbite, who had been hit with a grenade. Like, at the end of the day, it wasn't strictly there to develop biological weapons and kill people. It was there for them to do medical experiments that were going to help them keep people alive for longer. Like, that's what this final report was that came out.
For Japan, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, they were doing it for the betterment of Japan.
I think it's really curious and interesting how, like, cultural difference or even like language probably affects the way that people think, like their mentality, and the way that they, when the morality gets twisted, you know, like in Japan, there's tentacle porn, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or the thing of like,
well, and the whole thing of, I mean, if you look at the samurai culture, which is probably, we should do a show on samurais. Like, oh, I'm super into that. But I mean, you know, like it's kind of the Russians took a page from that book, you know, like die with honor, you know, like kill yourself.
That's like what I'm getting at. Like the thought process is a completely different, in Japan than it would be in Germany, just because of the cultural differences or the little things, you're taking your shoes off when you walk in, sitting on the floor and eating, like all these weird little things that add up, that when you start to do experimentation stuff like this, religious beliefs, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, such stuff is so different that you can have this type of atrocity with a different, like, moral behind it or different thought process behind it. They're not, that's, you know, because you're wondering, like, how the fuck could they do this?
Yeah. Right.
Is what you're thinking. Like, how the fuck did Germans do that?
The Germans are going in and they're actually trying to make, you know, Jews and anybody that's not whatever they consider the pure race extinct, which has a different, an entirely different intent behind it than this. You know, this thing is, they want to wipe out, they want to win a war, but they're also doing experiments for
the greater good of the empire.
For the greater good of Japan.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because if somebody else attacks them with chemical warfare, they will know how to deal with it.
Right.
So, I mean,
you
step, walk in their shoes for a day, you know, not saying that it's right, not saying that, you know, it's not crazy or, you know, fucking they were nuts when they did it. But, you know, when you walk in their shoes for a day and you have their perspective, it's probably not as bad as like how we look at it, because we value human life differently, which is a weakness at some points. You know what I mean? Like, we are weak in that sense that we're
going to be less efficient at winning that war, I think.
Yeah.
And part of it is the scholars disagree whether or not the Emperor Hirohito knew what was happening at Unit 731, whether or not he had ordered it.
I would say he did, because he ordered everything to be destroyed at the end
of
the war.
And his brother, Prince Mikasa, toured Unit 731.
Yeah.
And they knew what saw the fuck everything. Was going like on. I'm sure he didn't get back, and he was like, oh, I'm not going to tell my brother that was kind of a drag. Like, I mean, he got back.
He probably was excited about what they were learning.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, he's like, oh fuck. Like, cause they were fucking up Chinese people. They didn't give a shit about China.
Yeah. And again, like you mentioned, like one of their big plans was that was coming. It wasn't like the end run of Unit 731, but one of the things they intended to do was attack the US.
Yeah, West Coast.
So in 1944, when Tokyo was getting, Japan was getting near defeat, they actually, like, leading up to this in 1944, and I didn't know about this either at all, Japan did launch in 44 several bombs on balloons, and they launched them into the weather patterns to let them basically drift all the way to America. And several of them detonated. 200 were actually launched towards the western United States. Some of them exploded. One woman in Montana was killed by one, and six people in Oregon were killed by one.
A family and a pastor.
That's crazy. I didn't come across
that. Yeah, and one got all the way as far as fucking Michigan.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it blew up.
So this became proof of concept that we can just fucking stick some shit on a balloon, throw it up.
Well, and this was the trial. We send these over there, and then the next one, here come the fleas.
Right. That was their plan.
That was fucking coming.
So they had, I wear a
collar all the time. They can't get me. Yeah.
That's why I wear a dog collar.
I use the little, I squirt the thing on the back of my neck.
Advantix. Yeah. That's what I got.
So they had a
every 3 months. Why are you always oily, Dave? Your back is always wet.
Because of the Japanese.
It smells like deep.
I sounded really gay right there. Huh?
Well, so yeah,
oily.
They had a plan, and it was called Cherry Blossoms at Night.
Nice.
And they Makes were going sense. To use the bomb to carry disease balloons, and they were hoping
that's a lotion from Victoria's
like
Secret.
What their ultimate plan was they had a submarine that had an airplane on it, and it was sent to America. It wasn't like theoretical. They sent this fucking thing to America. And it got sunk by the American fleet.
It was a club sandwich of military vehicles.
Yeah, and a fucking airplane on it.
It got sunk by the American fleet, but the plan was, and there was an instructor, a guy named Toshumi Mizobuchi, who was an instructor for new recruits at Unit 731.
I like your Japanese. It's
Thank
sexy.
You. And they, it was supposed to surface near Southern California, fly towards Sacramento, and they were just going to be dropping tons of these balloons and disease-ridden fleas all over California, specifically aimed at the capital, San Diego, with plague-infected fleas. It was supposed to hit on September 22nd, 1945.
I'm almost wishing it did.
Except the sub got sunk.
I'm almost wishing it did.
That would have helped.
Who knows? Yeah, my family wasn't here yet.
Yeah, I don't know.
My grandma was in Georgia.
Yeah, so. My folks were all, we weren't in California yet.
My grandpa got brung over from the
actually, mine was in Oklahoma.
In a duffel bag.
Yeah.
He did.
In a duffel
bag? Yeah, a soldier brung him over in a duffel bag.
Wow.
Yeah, a Filipino baby.
That is not true.
That is true.
Really?
Yeah. Yes, it is.
Wait, what now? Rewind.
Who he wasn't really, my, he wasn't really listening to it. He was like, yeah, right. Uh-huh, I know.
My grandpa was brung over.
Brung,
in a duffel bag. Yes, he was brung over. He wasn't brang over. He was brung over.
Mine were brang over, man. I'm from Oklahoma.
A soldier who impregnated a Filipino woman, a nice lady.
So you're part Filipino?
No, it's my step grandpa.
Step-grandpa.
No, that's why I was tripping on it. I was like, I didn't know you.
No, I'm not Filipino. No.
Okay.
No, I don't even care about Filipinos.
I'm sure you do.
I put Filipinos in my eggs. A little spicy.
They all use Firebox. It's all fucked up.
So the I read another interview. There was a farmer who just like a old man farmer, and the New York Times.
Are there young man farmers?
Yes. But now, this was an old man farmer.
Oh, yeah.
And the New York Times found out that this guy was a medical assistant in Unit 731. They sent reporters over and they were trying to interview people about Unit 731. So they talked to this guy and they just said he's just a fucking normal dude, runs a farm, making like rice cakes for his kids, like and his grandchildren, and just happy and laughing and just like normal dude running a farm. And when they started talking to him, this was a quote. He said, and he was talking about a guy who got brought in to the operating room that he worked at as a medical assistant. He said, quote, "The fellow knew that it was over for him, and so he didn't struggle when they let him into the room and tied him down. But when I picked up the scalpel, that's when he began screaming. I cut him open from the chest to the stomach, and he screamed terribly, and his face was all twisted in agony. He made this unimaginable sound. He was screaming so horribly, but then he finally stopped. That was all in a day's work for the surgeons, but it really left an impression on me because it was my first time."
And he goes, his first time.
He goes on to keep talking and he says, "Vivisection should be done under normal circumstances, like to cut you open while you're alive.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If we'd used anesthesia, that might have affected the body organs and blood vessels that we were examining, so we couldn't have used anesthetic. Of course, there were experiments on children, but probably their fathers were spies. There's a possibility this could happen again, because in a war, you have to win."
Yeah.
Ugh.
Like just even all these days later, he's just like,
That's what I'm saying. Like they had this separation that they were killing. They weren't killing their own kind. They're killing fucking Chinese people and Russians and, you know, whatever.
Maybe my mom was onto something.
I don't trust any of them. They're probably making flea nanobots right now.
Probably. Yeah.
So, like
plague nanobots.
And here's the part that we've been hinting at, which is the extra fucked up icing on a really fucked up cake, is that so at the end of the war, the U.S. Army ends up discovering Unit 731 existed, and they figure out very quickly, A, we can never conduct this research anywhere on Earth.
Right.
Like this research has been
the U.S.
done.
Yeah, the U.S. wouldn't, you know, do the research.
Right. And B, the Russians can't get it.
Absolutely.
Like these are the two things that Americans figure out. So they send a guy and his... It's Colonel, I wish I was making this up. His name is Colonel Sanders.
Colonel Sanders, yes.
It's Lieutenant.
Well, they flew
Lieutenant
him over
Colonel
there.
Murray Sanders.
Yeah, they flew him over there and he got the secret recipe for fried chicken.
That's what the seven herbs and spices that came from Unit 731.
Yes, from 731. Very top secret.
Very secret. So they send Lieutenant Colonel Murray Sanders, who reports directly for General MacArthur. He was the one who sees, and he's in the medical unit. He knows all this stuff. He sees the research that was done and he goes,
"Holy shit.
We have to have this, B, the Russian can't get it." So they cut a deal where everyone that was involved on the Japanese side from Unit 731 was just fucking let go. As long as you don't tell the Russians about it.
Shiro Ishii was smart enough to know. He had the foresight to know, like, hey, and he told the emperor this, hey, if we give them this information, it's invaluable to them. Like did they give it out slowly though?
Cause it's
they did. They didn't give them everything up front. So, it took them about, I think they said 4 years to get kind of everything.
Still could kill them at that point though.
Yeah. But I mean, they're not going to, it's America. You know what I mean? Okay, like, man.
Well, it would be a waste fucking otherwise. Like all the atrocities and all that torture would have been done for nothing.
Yeah.
At least something come of it.
So
don't want the Russians to fucking have it.
The crazy part of it is too, though, the guy who actually went over there and was like, "Hey, we got to have this stuff." He goes, "Hey,
Colonel Sanders.
Yeah. We got this stuff for about $250,000. It's a bargain."
Yeah.
What else do you do though? Honestly, what else do you do? What other option are you left? You don't want the enemy to get it. You don't want to just make it have all been for nothing. It is valuable information. The only way you're going to get it from them is to
fucking prosecute them for war crimes
after the
and
fact.
Crimes against
take it from them and fuck them up.
I mean, at least the fucking butchers in Germany all were
they doled
killed
out like cyanide pills.
Crimes.
They all had cyanide pills.
They weren't though. Like we bring them over in Project Paperclip.
Just the ones that could build rockets.
Yeah.
The rest of them were all killed.
Only ones that hung the slowest worker.
You know, it's funny. It kind of gives you perspective. Like if they're valuable, like if the people we're going against are valuable, then no matter what they did, it doesn't matter.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like it's kind of a, kind of a crazy thing. Like,
so some of the leaders from Unit 731,
it's a real double-edged dildo.
Yeah. Yeah.
Some of the, so A, it wasn't just that they were like brushed away. They were given a stipend by the American government to keep their mouth shut. They were given an allowance so that they didn't continue doing their research and so forth. But so General Ishii gets off scot-free. He died in 1959 from throat cancer. I hope it was fucking horrible. other people from Unit 731, and because they all ended up flourishing in the post-war period, because none of them went to jail. One of them became the governor of Tokyo.
Well, they were all smart.
One of them
people.
Was the president of the Japan Medical Association, because he learned a few things. One of them was the head of the Japanese Olympic Committee.
Damn.
Like, I mean, so a lot of these people who were just fucking straight up were like promoted.
You know what's crazy? Like, oh, the guy's head of the Japanese Olympic Committee, and then he's going to meetings with these other people from the Olympics Committee. Like, do those guys know that this guy was a fucking, like, just...
Some of them probably. I don't know.
I guess I don't know. I don't think they would tell
them. I guess you can't get the info and then prosecute or kill them, because if it happens in the future, you want the fact known that you were going to stand by your word. Right. Yeah. I mean, because if it happened again, they'd be like, fuck that. You could just kill them last time.
Russia's not giving a shit if we take them over. Yeah. But the other thing is too, though, like, it's like you said, it is a double-edged dildo. Like you do need the information. You do need the information. The information is fucking just horrible, you know? I mean, and it's more valuable than, say, like Dr. Mengele's studies.
I think because it's a much more massive scale, too.
Yeah. And they were working with biological weapons and how they affected the human body, you know?
Obviously, what the Japanese did was fucking horrible, but I think that it's easy to sit on the couch and people to judge, like, the American government for, you just let them get off of the info. That's what you had to do. There was no other option.
The other thing is, though, I think this is where conspiracy theories start and people have issues, is because if America was like, explain that, and was like, hey, what they did was fucking wrong and it was horrible, but we can't let this information go to waste. We need this information. It's something that we would have never done, and let the people know about it. You know what I mean? Like,
and then prosecute honest, the people who did it.
And be honest about what they were doing. Like, letting all the people go that were ordered to do certain things, like the farmer, you know what I mean? He was probably brought in and was like, you're going to do this. He had a job.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, letting him go, that's one thing.
But he's not going to run Ishii, around.
But Ishii should have
ate a bullet.
Yeah, for sure.
And I guess that's the thing that trips me out, is the U.S. government conspired to keep all information about Unit 731 secret, even from us. Like, I'm a casual World War II buff. I'm fascinated by it. I always read up on it. I watch every movie that comes out. I love documentaries about World War II, all that shit. I've never fucking heard of this until a week ago. Like, ridiculous. Because they did such a good job sweeping it under the rug and making sure people didn't fucking know about it.
Yeah. And I think that's where people get upset, and that's why this even came up in a poll, because this is not a conspiracy theory.
Is it a prideful thing? Like, wouldn't society be better off as a whole if we all, like, admitted our sins? Like, if you were like, hey,
I think so.
You know, the United States did this fucking horrible thing to Native Americans. You know what I mean? And Japan was like, oh, we did this. And everyone, it was just like, it's in the school books. You're like, we did this shit.
Right.
The other thing is too, like with Native Americans, we talked about Native Americans were doing fucked up shit to the U.S.
Is there an age of innocence though, where you're like teaching little kids horrible fucking things, you know?
You don't have to teach it to someone when they're fucking five, but it'd be nice to do it by the time they're done college.
The dilemma is trying to teach, like, this is how the United States came about.
Yeah.
So you have to give a watered down version of some fucking.
My daughter is 7 years old, and she was sitting next to me watching this documentary.
Right.
Like, you know, like, I don't think that it benefits you not knowing what happened in the past. Because I didn't know this shit. I'm like, damn, we were about to get fleas with the bubonic plague dropped on us. Like, damn, like, that's some shit. I never would have fucking thought. But now knowing that that's a possibility, and knowing what the fuck's going on, because history always repeats itself. And, right. and that's one thing history teachers say. I remember seeing that quote, yeah. Yeah. I remember seeing that. My history teacher had it in his fucking thing. You know, history, if you don't know history, you know, it's bound to repeat itself, right. you know? And I think that that's super important. I think no matter how fucked up, you know, how many black people were hung or crosses were burned on yards or fucking Jews were killed or Chinese people were killed. Don't bury it. Let it out. You know, like let people know about it. And that's why a show like ours is popular because people don't know about this shit. We don't know about this shit. And people are so fucking fascinated and like wanting to know the truth.
The other thing, like in spite of all that, in spite of our government trying to keep it secret, letting everybody off the hook, et cetera, to keep it from the Soviets, it didn't fucking work.
Yeah.
Because when I looked into it, there was a guy named Lev Smirnov, who was one of the top Soviet prosecutors at the Nuremberg trials, which is where they arrested war criminals and did all that stuff. He and the Soviet side, everyone that they found who was a part of Unit 731 got tried for war crimes through the Soviet end, got fucking executed, got what they deserved. And while this was I take that back. They all got 25 years in Siberian labor camps. Like everyone who was involved
in
fucking 730.
You know what I mean?
Like, yeah. And the U.S. refused to acknowledge these parts of the trials and said that it was communist propaganda and all this shit. And then the Soviet Union ended up getting their hands on some of the documentation captured from Unit 731, and they just built their own fucking biological weapon centers using the information anyway.
Yeah.
So it's like you tried to hide it from the Soviets and they fucking got
The Soviets did what they should have.
Right. And they still got the information. And,
but they're so bad. You know, the Soviet Union's so fucking bad. You know, like how much worse are they than us?
The people with the information were like armed with cyanide pills. Though. They were instructed to commit suicide and probably would do so.
Sure they would.
Maybe the Soviets wouldn't have gotten it if they had all just gone straight prosecution. They would have, you know.
Maybe not. But then nobody has the information. And guess what? This shit happens again.
True. Yeah.
Right. Right.
World War III. Fucking there's a camp and they're fucking killing motherfuckers.
We'll
like,
never know how many black people were hung or how many Filipinos were brung.
Nope.
No.
Nope. That's an unknown statistic.
Or Broughton.
Yeah.
Right.
It could have been Broughton
and,
over.
Even in 2002, there was a lawsuit. A bunch of people, like the children and the grandchildren, the survivors of like the victims of Unit 731. A court in Tokyo ruled in 2002 that the Imperial Japanese Army did all of this stuff. Like the court fully said, yep, they did all of it, except everyone was filing the lawsuit was asking for two things. They wanted an apology from the Japanese government and they wanted financial compensation. And the Japanese government said, yes, we did that, period.
Right.
Like, fuck you and your apology. Yeah, fuck you and your money.
Did you see the thing?
Apparently you don't know Japanese culture.
They were exhuming certain areas to see if they had tried to bury the bodies, and the Chinese were requesting DNA tests to be run from any piece of a body or any body that was exhumed from those areas. They wanted DNA testing done to prove that, like, yeah, they were all Chinese.
They weren't all Chinese, but they were.
Right. Well,
Chinese.
Yeah. There was
I bet the
mix.
Percentage that got dug
90%,
up.
99% maybe. Yeah. Like it might be super high, but they were in China.
Yeah.
Right.
And China was not a friendly country.
But like I said, a lot of them were Russians, a lot of them were Mongolians, a lot of them were Koreans. I think from what I read, it was like the estimates are that 70% of the people were Chinese.
Yeah.
Right.
And another 30% was a whole mix.
And lesson learned, I mean, if you get occupied by another country and they tell you that they have a sawmill or a log mill, you know, that they're starting up, that's not true.
And if they want to give you free medical care
as
a POW,
it's Wolverines.
Yeah.
Top ramen and bullets.
Yeah. So I don't know. I was, like I said, just the fact that I tend to like get pretty fascinated by World War II is like the most fascinating period in all of history to me. And it's just swept under the rug.
It's because this shit like this keeps coming up.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like there's like when you go through school, you know about the Holocaust.
Right.
That's fucking it.
Right.
Like what kind of bullshit is that?
Yeah.
Barely even that though.
Yeah. Really. I mean, you just know that the Germans were bad people and that's kind of it.
But this
I think
this
if you ask the average
crazy.
High school student about that, they don't fucking know. Yeah.
But yeah, so that's Unit 731. Pretty fucking crazy.
I just keep getting so surprised how we didn't know shit about that at all. Like the Moonies thing blew my fucking mind. 30,000 couples married in New York. Nothing. Nobody knows about it. Like even our fans that are into shit like that are like, nope, you know? And then this one, we fucking dig for conspiracies all fucking day.
Yeah.
And then the fans were like, you guys know about this one? We're like, nope.
Let's look into it.
I thought it was a storage unit that had good shit in it. Like, what's in this storage unit?
It's pretty fucking crazy.
Dead bodies.
Yep. So you want to do some...
I have some more.
We didn't do our other giveaways. New shout-outs.
Yes. Oh, we have
we have another giveaway.
Do the giveaway and then do sponsors. And then
man, could have a couple duos there.
You could do...
Yuck.
What? You going to go?
I ran all the way home. Somebody might have got that joke. De Leon Koozies.
He did a lot of jokes that somebody might get somewhere.
I have some very, very specific
jokes. Do as well. Liked the look that Brad Knight shared.
Wait till this is a video podcast. You just see me shaking my head constantly, scratching rolling shit off my paper like fucking, didn't get to say that.
Yeah. He's fucking showing me post-its like you're fucking talking about something I had a note of.
Like, no, I'm just reading you like I was literally waiting to say that shit, but sorry. I should get more bulldozer.
No, because it goes both ways. Because you say stuff that I was going to say, like, and it's just whatever. You know, you said it, I didn't. It's how it is.
All fair.
Works.
All
right. And we steal stuff that Dave was going to talk about.
That's right.
Before he wants to talk about it, he gets angry, and it's moved past it. It's fine.
Black rage.
Yeah.
All right. So we said that we were going to give away some koozies again this week if you commented, liked, or shared the episode post. But I'll be honest. That new group opened up and everybody's partying in there and nobody went back to the public page like it stole our thunder. So Tyler Mott is the only fucking person that posted on that shit at all, but about 7 fucking times.
Yeah.
He gets slightly used anal beads.
Yep.
And I will contact
him. He already has koozies for sure.
Through direct message, but he is the De Leon slightly used anal beads winner of the week. And he'll probably get something else. I'll contact him. He'll get something else, but he's definitely...
Did Jared Mars get... get a hold of him?
I talked to Jared Mars and he said he was about to listen to the episode. So I said, I'll just keep quiet. He said he was intrigued.
So by the time.
And that's the last I heard, but there is a prize sitting for Jared Mars if he ever contacts us again.
Come on, dummy. Yeah, let's go.
Let's do this. But so that's that. Tyler Mott, you got anal beads. And thank you. And please, all of you, it really benefits us when you share that post because it's just organic growth. We don't have to, Facebook's really hard. We have to pay a bunch of money to try to tell people that we're cool.
Fighting
and
enraged
we're awesome.
Fans.
And it's a lot easier if you just tell your friends that we're cool and awesome. Because it doesn't cost us anything.
It's like we're like that guy that's tapping people on the shoulder. Like we're like, hey, we're over here. Hey, look at us. And some people look and the other people elbow us.
Well, the thing is, like, we're a lot of people's favorite podcasts. And if everybody whose favorite podcast we would be knew that we fucking existed, it'd be fucking awesome. But we don't. So tell your mom that she needs to listen. If she doesn't, she's wrong.
Yeah.
And your friend and your neighbor and your brother.
Yeah.
So
and their mothers.
Mm-hmm.
Mothers specifically. They like the show. Yeah.
And if you have Filipino friends, you can tell them too. It's fine.
Yeah, Filipinos are okay.
Yep.
All right. Were you gonna?
The Japanese have iPods up in them trees?
No.
No Wi-Fi.
They had Walkman.
Walkmans. Still?
Mm-hmm.
Damn.
You can do
sponsors.
Sponsors.
You want sponsors and patron?
Yeah.
Yep.
I think so.
I don't have sponsors written down, but I've said it 167 times.
You know them.
We need to thank El Yucateco Hot Sauce. It is available at Walmart, Target, most major grocery stores, and it's delicious on fucking everything. So if you haven't tried it, try it. If you can't find it, you're a fucking liar. Order it on the internet. And if you don't have the internet, you've never heard us, and it doesn't fucking matter. Thank you to printdirtcheap.com. You can log on to their website, printdirtcheap.com, and buy sticky shit. And you can save money using code SOFAKING when you do that. Thank you to De Leon Graphics for our t-shirts and koozies. We give some shit away in his name every week. If you go like, comment, and share our Facebook posts in our public area. Thank you to Digital Creations for our coffee mugs. And thank you to Dan Camarillo at Dan motherfucking Camarillo Jiu-Jitsu. You can log on to armhunter.com. He has instructional DVDs, gis, and booty shorts. I still don't know what those are really called. So, but thank you to all of our sponsors. We appreciate you.
Yeah. They're hot pants.
Hot pants.
That's what their technical term is.
All right. He's got hot pants with logos on them.
Yeah.
And I forgot a Patreon patron from last time.
Did you?
He's on my list, but I forgot it. His name is Jared Latch. And you know,
is it Jared Locke though?
If he's like Scottish, I guess it's L-A-C-H.
Yeah.
So probably. We have a bunch of people.
Latch. I don't know.
That are Scottish. We do
lack,
have.
Lack.
One of the two. But, you know, like, if you ever watch, like, movie credits and, like, during the closing credits, you'll see people and it's, like, next to their name is, like, an abbreviation and you're not really sure what that means because it's, like, some film title.
Mm-hmm. Like, hell yeah.
He works in film and, like, if you see, like, a movie and, like, his name goes by, it'll say, like, Jared Latch, and then it says PPW, which is like his abbreviation. And it means poo-poo wrangler. And that's the official term because like he makes fake turds for movies. So anytime you see a turd in a movie, it's someone like Jared who is a PPW who wrangles the poop, and they sculpt it out of all kinds of different things to, you know, different textures based on what the character would have been eating. So it's really
that's pretty detailed. Yeah, I never thought about that. Job. You'd have to know the scenes.
Yeah.
And like the food scenes.
Like what did he eat like in the previous scene?
Yeah.
Like, but yeah.
Should it be a softer texture?
It's a PPW.
I tell you the story about when me and my friends were talking, like sitting in a circle drinking beer, talking about the different shits.
Sitting in a circle jerking.
Circle jerking on a cookie. I won. Or I feel like I won. I mean, I'd eat the cookie, but I feel like a winner.
I feel like nobody won.
Yeah. Circle jerking, and you said circle jerking in a cookie. Light, in a circle.
Did the light just get brighter?
I don't know.
I think you're having a stroke.
I might be having
probably.
A stroke. Let me tell my story.
No, so, I that's what I heard you say.
We were circle jerking.
No. What did you really say?
Sitting in a circle drinking beer.
Oh, drinking. Okay. Yeah. I really thought you said circle jerking.
Brad hears dicks no matter what.
You've said them way more than I have. You're talking about rat balls and fucking you sending you penis pictures.
That I've said them more, but we know that you hear dicks no matter what.
That's not true. Mm. You don't know anything.
All right.
You forget.
I'm not sure what you're dicking about, Brent.
Yeah. There's no cocks over here.
Talk to a Patreon person. I actually talked to Edwin Zerati, and this guy, he gives us money every month, even though he has to paint addresses on curbs that for a living. And that is a fucking shitty job.
That
so
is.
If you get a knock on your door and you see Edwin Zerati, he looks like a Korean Robert De Niro. It's fucking weird, but he looks as much like Robert De Niro as you could and be Korean. Give him more than $5 when he paints your curb. Give him a tip. Give him just a tip. Give him some ramen if you got it. And give him all your old hot sauce that's not Yucateco, because never give that shit away. That's who I talked to, with Edwin Zerati.
That's it. Let me look on here. I got Brian Kimball. Brian Kimball went to patreon.com/SofaKingPodcast, and he's giving us money.
Wasn't that the name of the guy on The Fugitive?
Brian Kimball?
Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah.
I don't know. You're saying yeah.
I am.
I don't know. Must be. But he's not an actor. Is that a movie?
Yeah.
Okay. He's not an actor. He's actually a dishwasher at a pizza restaurant / delivery driver. Makes minimum wage, but he's happy about it. He gets a free range of kind of his hours. You know, he's one of the top employees. He gets to choose when he wants to work, when he doesn't. He gets first delivery. So he's a happy dude, and he's giving us some money. So, you know, thank you, Brian.
So we're sitting around talking about shit. And I said, you know, you have the corn shits. You have the iceberg shit. The iceberg shit's where you take the shit and it's all these sticking out of the water.
Oh, you're going back into the story.
Yeah, we're talking about the floater shits. So the shit they're floating on top. You got shredded beef shits. You got peanut butter shits.
Shredded beef shits.
Shredded beef shits is like that coffee explode. It's just, get up, it's like, damn.
Oh, the texture.
Is that
shit.
Beef stew in the toilet? Yeah. Did someone leave the crock pot and dump it in the toilet?
Got you.
Yeah, that's the shredded beef shits. Peanut butter shits where you wipe and it's like, literally, it's like peanut butter. You just keep going for it half a roll later. And we're just trading stories. The ghost, that's when you.
Oh, when you wipe and there's nothing there.
Yeah, and then like, you look and you're like, did that sucker slip down the hole? It's gone. There's nothing in the fucking toilet.
The ghost. Yeah. Right? Yeah.
You got the fucking
that's soft, a real thing.
The soft serve.
Yeah.
It spirals up and sticks out. You got stuff that like, it looks like a fucking letter or something weird. You're like, what the fuck? That there's
alphabet soup.
Yeah, there's alphabet soup.
Yeah.
There's some weird shit going on in there. The crazy green ones, all the color ones, we're going through this. And then like, we're just trading stories. And everyone's like we're doing right now. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And then we get to my buddy Josh for like fucking round four. And he's like, how about the ones that are so fucking hard, it just won't come out of your ass? And you just start slamming your ass cheeks on the seat of the toilet and it just won't come out. You're squeezing your cheeks. You're pinching your cheeks. It won't break off.
Rocking
you're wiggling
back and forth,
rocking back and forth. And it just won't fucking come out. Mm-hmm. So you just have to get some toilet paper, reach down and pull it out of your ass.
What the fuck?
Silence, dude. Silence. Everyone's like, no. He's like, fuck you guys. I know that fucking happened, and walked away. Like, that was a true fucking story. My friend, we went all the way. Every shit story happened, and he pulled a shit out of his ass with the toilet paper because he couldn't pinch it off.
Jesus, man.
You wanted to interrupt that story.
I didn't know. It was way better doing that.
Yeah.
Because it created suspense. Because
I went right back into it.
Yeah. It was perfect.
I talked to Jacob Van Workum, and he deals in remanufactured teepees. So when people are done with their teepees, they rebuild them, patch the holes, resurface all the stakes and everything. It's actually kind of like they're Coleman tents.
Yeah.
Like shitty Coleman tents, but they just look like giant teepees, but they're the wrong color and shit. They're like red and blue and have logos on them. It's not that impressive.
That's funny.
So, but that's what he does. I didn't, there's green, not much market for that.
Environmentally friendly.
Yeah.
I guess.
Yeah. So the next one's George Blanco, or as I like to call him, Horge White.
oh, man.
New Patreon member. Super good guy. Actually transgender. Actually just recently completed his full transformation. Has been on the testosterone for about 4 years, and after about 6 months, he saw his, he went through puberty again, actually. It was pretty crazy. He said, had the mastectomy, did all that. And then just recently, congratulations, got a vagina. Mm. It has a deviation. But
it's a standard deviation.
It's not too crazy.
That's a math joke.
Yeah.
Some people got that out there.
It's not too crazy.
Statistics joke.
But you know, so congratulations, shout out, Horge White.
Orange white.
Right. I still have more. I got more.
Oh, you got more?
Yeah. You have more?
If you got more, I got more. Fuck. Honestly, we could just go for an hour, but we won't. There's a lot on here. So
okay,
yeah.
Okay. Well, you can stop then.
All right. You're done. We do it next time.
I guess. Yeah.
All right. Well, if you didn't hear it, you were on the edge. You almost got your shout out.
That's but
we
right. Almost. To stop.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fucking John Birkenstock. He'll be next time.
Ooh. Teased him.
Yeah.
Well, that's technically a shout out. I might scratch you off.
Yeah.
he loves sandals.
Yeah. Fucking John Birkenstein. Where's fucking sandals with socks? What a fucking cocksucker.
All right. Scratch him off.
There John. You go.
Oh, I'm sorry. His name is John Burke. I'm sorry.
Well, whatever.
Yeah.
John Burke Ford.
Yeah, scratch him.
He owns a car dealership.
Yeah, he's a fucking dick.
Leaf Walsh over here is a fucking extra in Lord of the Rings.
Is that what we're doing now? Yeah, CD Reddish. He's a fucking... CD Reddish is a piece of shit. Works at a convenience store. He scratched that motherfucker off the list. Alex, what kind of name is CD Reddish anyway? Is he fucking raspberry?
Alex Lay makes pizza sausage. They're giant sausages he hand rolls down into little sausages for pizzas.
Damn.
There you go, Alex Lay. That's a shitty job and a shitty shout out.
Horrible. Who's this? Andrea. Bitch. Don't you give us a last name. Son of a... That's like God a, damn it.
That Madonna thing happening. Hey, when you do your Patreon, put your full name.
Yeah.
And your real name. It's a disaster trying to send you guys shit. Like, we had to go through an Excel spreadsheet from hell to try to line up first names, last names, and email addresses. People put fucking nicknames and shit.
Yeah, we literally had to guess some people's names because the name they put is different from their real name that, like, doesn't correlate with their email.
Yeah, we sent a 3X shirt to a midget.
Yeah.
He was pissed.
Pissed off.
He turned into.
He looked bigger in pictures, though. Honestly, we tried to gauge his size.
It was a fisheye lens.
Yeah, he was hanging out with really small midgets. He looked way bigger.
Oh man, the podcast has been over for so long, but this is the good part.
Okay, right. let's wrap this.
I crossed my page. Dave's got to go.
We should just let Dave walk away and leave.
Yeah, just keep going.
He's like,
later, Dave.
Let's
he's done.
Let's pull this turd out of our butt.
All right, so to speak. All right, don't be a retard.
They cut them hammers, waved them llamas, but that's that in front of the camera drama. When the cameras are attached to dollies, I call them Dalai Lamas. Move, load, hold me in the palm of your hand, load me. You know exactly what I am,
murderer. When I'm inserted onto the top of 15 family members, it's the curse of the proverbial anarchy. Start of a martyr, this is what I have been converted to do. What I do is insanity, profanity, when they manually hammer me annually. You don't figgity phase me, yo. I won't tickety cage you, bro. Figgity fucking cut you in half like it's nothing minus the laser scope. Then I will ring your bell like Avon before displaying some of my various tattoos. Trayvon, the Oscar award winning Ayanna Jones. Hey, Sean. Sworn to be cannon fodder for your father, slaughter daughters, armor piercing tumblers, more deadlier than napalm. Fuck a stray bullet, I take aim when the gun draws. For everlasting fame, I will maim those who change the gun laws. Cause post-traumatic stress disorder, ask any vet I work with. My purpose, catching bodies like safety nets at the circus. Ooh, listen to the way I slay your crew. Damage! Nigga, I will twist your liver like Oliver. Twist, got your name off my calendar. See, that was me through a silencer. What you just heard was a 44 caliber. Now you can fill in the blanks. I will pillage your town. Killing them with Dillinger rounds. Nigga, fill in the clip, cause I'm willing to flip. See, I'm sore, certified, a fortified lie. You'll be mortified if I would put you on stream. What I've seen, how far, holy Bible, rivals, vital organs, little bitty baby bodies, bridal gowns, coffins, morphine, gangbang, gangrene, slawson, swap, meet, meet, greet, pop. I don't sleep, I don't stop, I love hate. Hate cops, that's why I laugh when you pull it. I'm motivated and crass and so elated when I see them on the news. They flying the flag half mad. See, there's no need for conversation when we're discussing the bullet's point of view. Ooh, listen to the way